This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With the 45th selection, the Redskins have chosen defensive back from Mississippi State, Fred Smoot.
Yeah, Smoot was supposed to be in that 2001 draft, a first-round pick. But there was a big old party in Starkville a few weeks earlier, and the league was looking into Fred's role in it. He ended up going in the second round to Washington, and Marty Schottenheimer, who was making the picks that particular year. Smoot joined me the other day on my podcast to talk draft. Here's how it went. Overall, before we get to a couple of these players, what did you think?
I loved it. Like, listen, because I have been very intrigued in studying Adam Peters and the way he do things. And I didn't look at this draft and worry about what players we got because he did such a masterful job in free agency. All right, so let's supplement what we really got in this draft. We really got Laramie Tunsil, an all-pro left tackle with a third-round pick. We got Deebo Samuels with a fourth-round pick. We got a right tackle that can play left. This is one of the best, if not the most athletic, Connelly is tackle in this draft. Used to play running back in junior high school, in high school. This dude is – look up his athletic numbers. They blow you through the roof.
Yeah.
Then you steal Trey Amos, who had a first-round grade. You talking about me having a first-round grade in 01? This same thing you getting from Trey Amos, and you stuff in another room. Like, you stuff in another room to the max of competition. Let me take you down this offensive line, Professor, and I'm going to tell you what the future holds. Last time we won a Super Bowl, we had the Hogs. Right now, we're getting the Wild Boys together. And this is what we got as of today. We have a Pro Bowl left tackle. We have a Pro Bowl center. Tim Cosme, when he's healthy, is a Pro Bowl guard. What I seen from our guy last year that we drafted, he now moving to guard, becomes a asset that can, now his ceiling and his floor goes through the roof. So that means four out of the five offensive linemen have Pro Bowl capabilities. That itself sets you up for success. I've been screaming since I've been playing football here. If you don't have the fat boys that smell like bacon to dominate, we will never dominate consistently. Right now, we are suiting up for trench warfare, and that's not sexy to people. And I don't need it to be sexy to people, because when you do sexy picks, that means you're probably a losing organization. You know what was a sexy pick? Cam Ward was a sexy pick to a losing organization. Sexy, winning teams always go offensive lineman. Kansas City, you see the Ravens, how they draft. They don't draft for need, because if you draft for need, you're already behind. You drafting best player available because you have that option to, that gives you power.
By the way, when you were talking about Tunsil for the picks and Deebo for the picks, you left out Marshawn Lattimore for,
Yes. So you got a Pro Bowl corner also. So what he's been doing to people, I would hate to throw the word fleecing out there, but, you know, we got fleeced for Trent Williams years ago, and this guy was in that room also. So fleecing is something he knows about.
Yeah, they got three players with our third, fourth, and sixth round picks. All right, so before we get to some more specifics about the players that you just, you know, went through, who did you want them to take when they were on the clock at 29? I know you trust Adam Peters, but you were screaming for somebody. Who was it?
Well, I was screaming for Enrique from Donovan Azurike from
Boston College. From, yeah, Azuraku from Boston College. Okay, yeah.
I liked him, but I was really more fascinated with Jane Pierce Jr.
Okay.
Because if you get an edge, he remind me of the freak. He remind me, you got a guy that big running a 4.440. I can find a piece for you on my roster. All right? Like, I can figure something out. And now that we got the right locker room, now we can take these chances. So I was high on him. But what I love about Peters, he went the opposite direction. And he went offensive tackle because he realized, think about the guys we got to block. He's over there paired up with Micah Parsons now. Then we got to realize we still got Philadelphia in the defensive line. They got with Jalen Doomsday Carter. We also got the New York Giants and everything they just did with Abdul Carter. They got Thibodeau. They got Dexter Lawrence. Like, so he
Burns.
Said, all right.
Yeah.
Yeah, Burns, like, you're talking about pass rushing galore. So we had to, we went and we did it on the offense side of the ball. So I was all with it. When I seen the draft pick, then I went, really looked at that kid and realized this kid just doesn't get beat. And when he gets beat, his lateral movement is ridiculous. Like, he can get anywhere on the spot on the field he wants to get.
All right. Tell me about Trey Amos.
Trey Amos, long, great ball skills, willing to stick his head in there and tackle. He was actually charted as one of the most well-rounded cornerbacks in this draft, meaning not great at one thing, but good at everything. And that's what he brings to the table. He's also a competitor. He's very smart. He knows how to read route combination. He's good at press. He can play off man, and he's pretty good at zone. He's going to push, because I realize now in the league, you don't start two corners, you start three corners. Like, he's going to push to be a starter on it. Like, I'm very intrigued to see how this goes with him, especially with all the stuff that he brings to the table. And it didn't start just at Ole Miss. He was showing these things at Alabama when he was there, too. But he knows how to get to the ball, and he's sticky in coverage. Don't get a lot of penalties. He's a clean prospect in that way. I thought he was a steal of the draft, like, even though I feel like we got a steal later on in the draft.
All right, we'll get to later on. But of the corners that you looked at and spent time looking at before the draft, take Will Johnson and Travis Hunter out of the equation. Tell me who you really liked. I'm just curious because we didn't have this conversation before the weekend, but I want to know who the corners that you were talking about last week and the week before.
I had a man crush on Siobhan Revell. Okay. Listen, the Cowboys had a draft. Nobody wants to talk about it. But I thought the Cowboys knocked the draft out. I thought they had a A-plus draft. And Revell, what you get with him, I hate to paint this picture and put this pressure on this kid. I saw a faster Richard Sherman. I saw a Richard Sherman with a 4.3, and that's a lethal weapon to me. At 6'3", you cannot throw fades on him. Nobody could throw fades on Richard Sherman. With that wingspan, it just will not happen. But guess what? At 6'3", he has the ability to stop, start, and get out of cuts. I can always tell a great defensive back if they can pick off over routes. Like, as a defensive back, it's three levels of the over route. If he got a step on me, I'm trying to get the tackle. If I'm right there with him, I can break the ball up. Rarely do you go under him and pick him off. I've watched this kid do it numerous times because of his wingspan and because of his speed. I thought he was a steal. I thought he was special. I know it was red flags about him being injured,
yeah, right.
But I thought he was one of the best in this draft, and I thought he was the steal. Now, Darian Porter, another guy.
Hello. Hello. That was my guy.
Listen, he's so raw, it scares you. You know what I'm saying? Because he hasn't played but a year cornerback. But at 6'3", not a 6'3 cornerback, and I'm talking about measurables, jump off of this sheet of paper that you put them on. Now, the question is age and how long does it take him to really get comfortable at the position. I like Kobe Bryant. He didn't even get drafted. I thought he was one of the fierce competitors. Like, the one prospect that me and Logan went back and forth with, we could never really figure out what you're getting, is Jahad Barron, Barron out of
Jahde Barron from Texas.
Texas, yes. He makes plays. He's all over the field. He's
right.
Very good in zone, but looks kind of stiff sometimes. Also, don't look like the most twitchiest athlete I've seen. I don't know if he's an outside corner. I think he might be a lifetime nickel. Like, I don't know what I'm getting at. So it was a couple of guys that jumped off the page to me, but it was deeper draft than people said it was at cornerback.
You know, you talk about loading up at a position. I mean, Denver took Barron, and they have a few corners. You know, they've got a guy named Pat Surtain who isn't that bad. I thought that was interesting because they really wanted a running back. But you mentioned Porter. That was the guy that I talked about because I know that he didn't get around to playing corner until this year, and I don't know why. Part of it is he was an offensive player, but I don't think there was a guy in the draft that was that tall, had those arms, the length of his arms, and ran 4.3. Like, he's a freak. Now, maybe he's super raw, but yeah. The physical part of it, and I thought just looking at him on tape this year, and I'm not an expert, you are, but he really anticipates well. Like, he just had a knack as an offensive player before.
I'm finna say he thinks like a receiver.
Yeah.
So he takes that and he plays it on defense. And same semblance of Travis Hunter. He goes about playing the position offensively. Champ played it offensively. Deion Sanders played it offensively. And that's what you get. Like, we always had this conversation in the DB room, what position did you play on offense? Now, you get a guy like Sean Spring. Sean Spring played running back. So you got two type of corners. You got your cornerback that play running back, and you got your cornerback that play wide receiver. It tends to be the XY receivers tend to play the ball a tad better because
right.
They're still thinking like a wide receiver. So Porter did that on defense this year.
But I'm sure there were some corners along the way that played quarterback too at some point, right? So what were those guys like?
I'm going to say mostly the guys that play quarterback end up playing safety.
True.
For some odd reason. So they're still back barking calls. They still play in the middle of the field, and they still play in the middle of the field like a quarterback would.
All right. Jalen Lane, Virginia Tech, fourth round.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So
he can go get it. When I watch him, very twitchy, can get down the field. Built well. Of course, Virginia Tech didn't throw the ball as much, so his numbers just ain't going to blow you away. But I don't see a weakness to his game. Like, when you look at his game, do you see a weakness to his game?
No, but you know what I noticed? Because I didn't really know him before they picked him. I think his vision as a runner is better as a returner than it is as a receiver. I don't know if that makes any sense, because it shouldn't be any different. But his vision and cutback ability as a returner is outstanding.
So you feel like he sees the field totally as a returner, and he sees half the field as a runner.
Maybe, but he's got such great speed that there's a lot of separation, too, especially in college.
Yeah, most definitely. And that's what the thing that they wanted. Like, he's the ultimate clear out. Take the top off the defense guy.
Right.
Like, he's the alert guy. Like, you're going to have a couple alerts when he comes in the game. He's going to be the speed guy. The other alert is Deebo Samuels. Like, taking nothing for Terry, they only going to alert Deebo Samuels because Deebo Samuels come with trickery. Deebo Samuels come with a question mark. Like, how are they going to try to get him the ball?
Right.
So, he will, like, Jalen, he will be an alert guy because of his speed from the day that he touches on the field. So, that's the advantage that he's going to have, especially on this roster.
Well, they ran him on a bunch of fly sweeps and jet sweeps at Virginia Tech, too, so he may be a part of that as well. All right, so I'm going to guess when you said there's a player later in the draft that you really, really, really like, because I think you said something or something to that effect, that it's the next guy, Kane Medrano, the linebacker from UCLA.
Oh, yes, sir. His measurables are ridiculous. The fastest linebacker in the draft. And here's the thing about it. Are they going to play him at linebacker? Are they going to play him at safety?
Right.
They have two options.
Right.
Yeah, so they're going to think of it. Like, you want to talk about a flex position guy. You want to talk about a tweener. You want to talk about an alert guy when you come in on defense. Where do you play him at? Because he can do do whatever you need him to do. You know how most defensive, they had this player that this special position called star?
Yeah.
Like, he will be one of those. And we drafted a couple of guys last year that also can play star. All right? And so at the end of the day, I think this guy is one of those pieces, them chess pieces on the board, that they're going to make offenses find where this guy is. And I can see this guy getting on the field. I can see him getting on the field faster than people that think he can get on the field, because I watched the interception that pick six that he ran back, and just the athletic ability. He literally picks it off, running 60 yards, jumps over a guy before he gets to the end zone. He can do whatever needs to be done. He's a great blitzer. He's good in coverage. He's a good tackler, and he brings energy. He's a commander. Like, if I can say this, watching his film, I just smiled the whole time, Professor. I just smiled while I was watching his film.
I said the same thing in the open to the show. That's so funny. I had a feeling you were going to like him. The athleticism is one thing, but what I noticed, and you had this, and I actually compared him, not athletically, it's the wrong comparison athletically, but he has that athletic anticipation. He is... Like, Micah Hyde has been one of my favorite players to watch for many, many years, not because he's a tremendous athlete. He makes up for the lack of athleticism because he has such great anticipation on where the quarterback's going, the spatial, awareness to play the ball. Yeah. And that's what this guy has, which is, it's interesting because I wondered the same thing. Is he going to play linebacker? Is he going to drop in coverage? Or is he going to line up at safety or star or Buffalo nickel or whatever, because it looks like he's got a lot of possibilities. But do you know what I'm saying? Because you had it too, like that anticipation, which is part of athleticism, but it's not a measurable thing.
No, it's a thing where you take what you study to the field. Like, the thing about it is, anticipation is believing what you studied and taking it to the field and always being a step above. Athletics can only take you so far. Mentally, you're going to have to be able to beat some guys, and you mentally beat them by anticipating routes, knowing route combinations, knowing habits, knowing, like, such things like a pat of the football, if you know this quarterback likes to pat the ball before he throw it. Like, it just be the smallest minutia, the smallest detail, whatever I can take. And he does play what I call ahead of the chain. When I say ahead of the chain, he's already making a move before the ball is snapped on where he wants to go, because he's seen where you already lined up and be. So that's what coaches love, that, because they know I can coach him with the smallest detail and he will figure out the rest. And then what I say, he's a coach's delight.
Yeah, I looked this up because I've always, for whatever reason, just loved Micah Hyde. And he's never the fastest or the biggest guy by a long shot. He's got 24 career interceptions. Like, over the course of the year, he's just always been a guy. It's like, oh, there's another interception from a guy that doesn't run well necessarily, not big, but also had the hands. And you could see the hands with with Medrano as well. All right, what about the running back? Go ahead. Did you want to say something else about Medrano?
No, I was just going to give Micah Hyde his flowers. Man, I have seen cerebral. Micah Hyde is a step faster Ryan Clark. I knows where to be, Johnny on the spot, studies enough, never going for no wasted motion. Like, the best defensive backs in the league don't have to be the fastest. Do they have wasted motions or not? Do they, like, Deion and what's his name was arguing about a T-step. It ain't about how you get there. It's about getting there. And that's what Micah Hyde does a lot. It's never air when he's around. He's always tight to wherever he needs to be, tight to the player he needs to be, and always Johnny on the spot. So, yeah, back to the running back.
Well, hold on. One other thing, because I wanted to mention this guy, too, because, as I'm sitting here, we're talking about Micah Hyde. Micah Hyde is a safety. He's never played linebacker. But the other guy that I brought up, not that, they're exactly the same in a lot of ways, but the dude Van Ginkle over the last few years in Miami and then last year in Minnesota, like, I kind of see Medrano being that kind. Now, Van Ginkle is a freak too, and a relentless pass rusher, but the way he seems to time quick throws, how many of those has he picked off in the last few years? He picked one off here from Sam Howell, and returned it for a touchdown. And I think
I won up you one. How about Milano?
Milano, same thing.
Yeah.
But Van Ginkle is also really, like, he's tall and long. Like, is Medrano that tall? He might be.
No, he's more of a build of a Miles Jack. Think about Miles
Yeah,
Jack.
Right.
He's more of a build of a Miles Jack.
All right. The last pick, Jacory Kroski-Merritt. His nickname's Bill. The running back from who only played one game at Arizona, but played at New Mexico and Alabama State before that. What did you see in him?
Well-rounded. Like, he is – I see what the coaches and the GMs like in players. They don't like – if they get a one-dimensional player, they want you to be great at it. They'll rather have guys that's good at everything. This guy can pass block. This guy can run between the tackles. This guy can break a deep one. This guy can catch out the back. So they want guys – they want football players. And this guy is epitome. He's a football player. Like, he's one of these dudes. You're going to ask me what sticks out, Smoot? Nothing. He just does everything the right way. And that's what you want from a player. Now, he's going into a room that most people don't see as a deep room. I look at that room as a hard room to get reps in. So can he get some reps? We'll see when the pads come on. But I like him because he does everything, especially in this deep running back draft. Like, if I was never going to reach for a running back in a draft, this was the draft that I was not going to reach for a running back. And by the way, to show that this team, this organization are doing things just effortless the right way, they did bring in Gabe Taylor, Sean Taylor's young brother.
Right.
He is coming in for camp. That's classy if I haven't seen anything.
Ladies and gentlemen, Fred the Hound Smoot. giving us his best stuff on this Monday following the draft. Love it. Thank you so much, as always. I'll talk to you soon.
Anytime, Professor.
That was Smoot from my podcast on Monday. All right. There was big news with a local team yesterday. I will tell you what that was when we come back. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
All right, yesterday, the Nats lose on a wild pitch after taking the lead in the ninth. Bryson Stott came home to score on the steal. Nats lose 7-6. They'll continue their series tonight. Pre-game at 6:15 right here on the Team 980. The NFL fined the Falcons $250,000 and defensive coordinator Jeff Ulbrich for $100,000 for failing to prevent the disclosure of confidential information distributed to the club in advance of the NFL draft. As we know, Jax Ulbrich made the prank call to Shedeur Sanders on, I believe it was Friday night. WNBA, Georgia Amore, the Mystic number six overall pick, injured her right ACL during Tuesday's practice. The team announced she and the team will examine treatment and rehabilitation options. Again, she was the number six pick in the WNBA draft. The Washington Capitals look to close out their series against the Montreal Canadiens. Alex Ovechkin was not on the ice yesterday, but was on the ice this morning for morning skate. Logan Thompson was the first off the ice. He will get the start. And Alexei Protas will likely draw in for Taylor Radish. Pregame at 6:45 on 106.7 The Fan. This update is sponsored by the Team 980 YouTube page. Just open the app, type in the Team 980, and hit subscribe. Kevin Sheehan is live from 10 to 1 and Craig Hoffman from 4 to 7. Don't forget to like the stream and turn on notifications to stay up to date on all things DC sports. And that's what's trending.